Welcome to the Sunday Morning Linux Review with Matt Enders, Tony Bemis, and Mary Tomich.
Episode 48, the Happy Birthday to Mary episode.
Hey, and it coincides with how old I am.
Oh.
Well, okay, that's my story and I'm sticking to it.
All right, so what'd you guys do this week?
I just worked.
You have kind of a wild, glassy-eyed look.
Yeah, because, you know, I had my regular job. I worked. Mm-hmm. This week was a 48-hour week.
Oh, so it's that.
It was a four-day week.
Okay.
So I worked four 12-hour days, and then my one and only customer that's left in my other, because I told all the rest of them to take a hike. There was only two. but I told those two that I wasn't going to do it anymore, but I still have one customer left, and I'm trying to get him up and running for the school year, and it's been a real pain in the ass.
Okay.
Wow. So. All right.
All right.
So birthday lady, what's going on?
Birthday lady. That's politically correct. Birthday girl.
Works for me.
Yeah. Let's see. Well, I lost my cell phone, or I didn't lose it. I misplaced it. And I had installed Prey on it. And so when I realized, oh, yeah, I could use Prey to try to find it, I did confirm that it's on the premises, but I'm not sure where it is, so it's still lost. So I spent part of my week doing that.
Yeah.
And then I spent part of my week, yesterday having a pre-birthday party. So I had friends over, and I got a little, nice crocheted little resting place for my Raspberry Pi, and a matching one, and that was from my friend Ruth, who's my geek friend Ruth, and she's gonna set up a second one that will be raspberry colored.
Raspberry colored.
Yeah, so I'll have it'll be like a little sleeping bag for my Raspberry Pi because I'm not doing anything with it yet, so just sleeping right now. So that's kind of why. Yeah, well, you're walking. Yeah, you're when you do the show, you're going to sound like you're about a mile away. So anyway, that's kind of what I did, plus the regular show prep stuff.
Matt, what's happening with the kernel?
In the kernel, we have not a whole heck of a lot. We have a release candidate on September 8th at 2012. No, on September 8th, 2012 at 2343. Pacific Daylight Time, Linus Torvalds released kernel 3.6-RC5, but there was no announcement, so I have no further news on it.
And stealth release.
And there were no other kernel updates this week at all, so I have one developer quote from Greg Crow Hartman. He says, he's talking about a photograph that he took. Real boats all lined up in the harbor, and Kay Seavers trying to paddle away from me as fast as possible.
You know,
he was kayaking with Kay Seavers.
Speaking of Greg Crow Hartman, did you see the little YouTube interview of him and his skateboarding prowess?
I did not.
Okay,
I saw it. I did not watch it.
They interviewed him out at the LinuxCon.
After LinuxCon was over. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
I saw it, but I didn't watch it yet.
Yeah, so it was kind of fun. I didn't realize that he was a skateboard guy.
Did you see that picture of him? That black and white picture?
Yes.
Him.
Yes, when he was young.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. So that was it's kind of interesting. I saw that. All right.
So that's all I have for the kernel.
Wow. Yeah, that's super short this week. All right.
But I know we know you have news this week.
I wrote two stories this week.
Okay.
Very short stories.
All right.
Oh, no.
You know, there are all sorts of exclamations coming over from that site.
Chrome crashed.
Chrome crashed?
Chrome crashed.
Wow.
It crashed hard.
But, you know, you look attractive in that frozen picture, though. you think it's got your good side. Huh.
I'm going to go back to the, testing, then.
I don't run testing.
No, Fedora.
I'm running Fedora. I'm running Fedora. The announcement has been made. I am now on Fedora. And generally liking it for the most part.
Okay.
So, I never in my life thought I would be on an RPM distribution again.
But. And you never thought you'd be on KDE either.
I know.
Tony, what's going on with the Linux distributions this week?
There are a ton of distro releases this week. Going back to the first, that was we recorded on the first last mm-hmm. week, and then this came out after that. But OLPC, the OS 12.0 or 12.1.0, it's the Linux distribution by the people that made the One Laptop Per Child project,
right?
So it's to provide children in developing countries with low cost laptops. And it looks really cool. It's just for what I do mm-hmm. is I want something more powerful.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really lightweight and real low power, as in, like, it doesn't use a lot of energy to run. You can use a little hand crank and use it if you want.
I have a radio that uses a hand crank.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's got a little solar power thing. I figure when, you know, we have the civilization collapse after the coronal mass ejection. Of course, there won't be any radio stations, will there? Oh, I didn't think about that.
That's where ham radios.
Hams.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. So one laptop per child.
Yeah, so that's cool. Also on the first was Zorin OS, the 6.1 Educational Lite Edition.
Mm-hmm.
So educational stuff based on Lubuntu.
Oh, okay.
So it's lightweight. Lubuntu. And then on the second, we have Liberté Linux 2012.3.
Mm-hmm. Liberté.
Liberté.
Liberté. Okay, yeah, because there's an accent over the E. They're Gentoo-based with strong internet privacy features.
There we go with that Gentoo-based stuff again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't get it. How can it be Gentoo-based? Isn't Gentoo, like, install everything from source?
Yeah, from source.
Well, they installed it from source for you. That's how.
They have sources like source.
To get source packages, but then you compile everything.
Right, they compiled it for you.
So they compile it for you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
source based, not necessarily Gentoo based.
They have a package manager. You use their package manager to say install Firefox, and it goes through and downloads all the sources.
Yeah, they probably
compiles
use
the
master
system
to create
you.
The ISO. You know, that's
I don't know. It just seems a little silly to have a distribution based on Gentoo.
Now, if there was one based on Linux from scratch. That'd be a little
different. That would be.
Oh, speaking of
Linux. Yeah, speaking of Linux from scratch.
You know, I downloaded that this week too. And I put that on an ISO. I put that on a CD, and I couldn't get it to boot.
Oh, really?
Get it? You get the joke? It's a book.
That's funny.
Linux from scratch is a book.
It's just instructions.
It's instructions on how to build it. Oh, man.
When
I have to explain a joke to you.
It was still funny.
Linux from scratch 7.2 was released on the 2nd. And as Mary said, it's a book of instructions on how to build a base Linux system from scratch by utilizing an existing Linux system or live CD.
Hey, I'm thinking of, I'm thinking of trying that, doing that as a little project, Linux from scratch.
Yeah.
And just kind of divide up the manual into sections and just not try to do it all in one day, just over the course of a period of time.
You'd get it done in one day.
No, I probably not even if that were my objective, but I'd get it done in one day or two maybe. But I think it might be kind of interesting just and informative and educational as far as understanding how Linux is put together.
Yeah. If you want a little bit of background and to learn a little bit before doing it, you may want to start with Gentoo because the install process is similar mm-hmm. yet different. So if you want to just learn the cheroot system, mm-hmm. like how to cheroot and do mm-hmm. things like that, then and Gentoo, you know, explains it all to you. And I'm sure Linux from scratch does too. It's just you would get the end working system a little bit faster so mm-hmm. that you wouldn't get discouraged. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't get discouraged by things taking too long.
Well, I would just start it up and walk away.
You can't do that.
You can't.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe I'll have to modify my project.
All right.
So we'll
all right.
Going.
So continuing on.
Yeah.
Also on the second, we have Solus OS 1.2 Legacy. They're the Debian-based distro on GNOME 2. It addresses the the needs of users with certain problematic hardware. I'm not sure what problematic hardware they could be referring to, but I don't know.
Well, hardware that has problems.
Yeah, that would make sense.
Back in the day, that would mean like WIN modems and stuff, but who's using modems anymore?
I don't know.
Don't look at me. Yeah.
Anyway.
Hold. All right.
Then on the third, we have SlackL KDE 4.8.5. They're a Slackware-based desktop with KDE 4.8.5.
Slackware, they're kind of cutting edge, aren't they?
Well, they're the oldest Linux distro.
I know. It was a joke, Mary.
Oh. All right. And then also on the third, we have System Rescue CD 3.0. They're also based on Gen 2, but with a number of data rescue and disk management utilities. Then we have Cubes OS 1.0. They're Fedora-based security distribution with desktop for a desktop with number of isolated domains.
Yeah.
So it looks interesting.
Yeah, and actually, I think I'm going to do a review of it. I've started playing around with it, and it is interesting is a good way to describe it, because they've got all these little virtual machines, and they're virtual machines and they're distinct.
Mm-hmm.
There are some aspects to the those particular machines that sit on the hypervisor. Yeah, it's interesting. So I'm going to put together a review of it.
All right, cool. And then on the 5th, we have OpenSUSE 12.2. And then SUSE is just SUSE. There's nothing to be based on for that. Right?
I guess not.
Well, if you go far enough back.
There was a 12.1?
No, they were actually based on Slackware.
Oh, they were.
Yes, and then they changed to the RPM base.
98 or something.
Way back.
Yeah. The myths of history.
I think it was pre-98 actually.
Holy cow!
And
yeah, they were originally Slackware based.
Yeah,
because Slackware was like the only.
All right.
Okay.
And then we have on the 6th we have Kiwi Linux 12.8 or 08,
which is mint for the Aussies.
Oh yeah. Yeah, it's Ubuntu-based with popular extras such as browser plugins, media codecs, archiving tools, etc.
And it also targets lazy people.
It targets lazy people?
Yeah.
I didn't see that part.
Yeah.
That's funny. Anyway, also on the 6th, we have Ubuntu Christian Edition 12.04. And as you would expect, it's based on Ubuntu 12.04, but it's designed for Christians as well as churches, Bible studies, schools, and other religious organizations.
Well, there you go. Yeah,
do you know what they do in that? One of their big claims to fame
is
they filter the internet.
Oh,
they have
yeah?
Dan's Guardian and Squid installed by default, and that's it.
Really?
It routes your internet through it, yeah.
That's a pretty good idea. Huh.
Yeah, if you're...
I guess if you're doing Bible study, you wouldn't want
Sunday
porn
morning,
pictures
too.
Coming up.
Okay. I didn't know that, Matt.
Let's see. Development. Distro release. Network Security Toolkit 2.16.0-4104. I don't think I've ever heard of this. But they're a Fedora-based live DVD. With a good collection of open source network security applications.
NST, I've used them.
Oh, yeah?
I was checking out a whole bunch of different, like, rescue CDs and things like that a little over a year ago, I guess. And that's when I settled on TRK, Trinity Rescue Kit.
Yeah?
They're the kick-ass rescue CD in the universe. So.
Cool.
Yeah, well, I think they had their first, at least as far as DistroWatch is concerned, their first release back in 05.
Oh,
so,
okay.
Yeah, and they've had, I think, just about every year since then, they've had some kind of a release.
All right.
So, But yeah, I don't recall really seeing them on this list.
All right. So on the 8th, we have PC Linux OS 2012.09, the KDE Full Monty.
Oh, Full Monty. Well, on that Full Monty, I think I talked about that a couple months ago. Mm-hmm. It's that DVD is almost 4 gigabytes. It's got, and you can switch between various focused desktops. It is the Full Monty.
All right.
Everything. So.
And then we have Arch Linux 2012.09.07. It's the newest version of that. And then we have
Hot
Chakra.
On its heels is Chakra.
It's Chakra, on the 8th also. That's cool stuff.
Yeah.
Speaking of Chakra, you still running Kubuntu, Mary?
Yes, I am.
I made the jump. I left Seduction for Fedora. How come you're still on Kubuntu?
Because I have to put together my cheat sheet for running all the Pac-Man-based commands, and they don't have a graphic installer. So I need to have a list of the commands that I need to do.
Excuses.
Oh, that's a challenge. So you want to challenge me on that?
On what?
When I'm going to put Chakra on?
No.
I actually blew it away. I replaced it temporarily with cubes. So, you never can tell.
You never can tell. Something. Like the Lions are going to lose today.
I am going to the game afterwards.
You are?
Yes.
All right.
To watch the Lions lose.
They're not going to lose.
They're going to lose.
No.
I'll bet you $10.
You're on.
All right.
All right.
2 weeks from now, I'll get to collect my $10.
That's right, because I'm not going to be here next week.
You're not going to be here.
Oh, see, she's admitting that I will get to collect my $10. Did you hear that?
I am nothing. No, I it's going to be such an enjoyment. What was I trying
Dig
to say?
Dig the hole deeper, Mary.
It will be such an enjoyable experience to collect more money from you.
More money? When have you collected
any money?
Because
the Lions are 21-point favorites.
They're done. They're done. Yeah.
All right. Let's continue.
The Lions are going to win 2 games this year.
The distro of the week, according to DistroWatch, calculated by website hits per day.
And at number 5, we have PC Linux OS.
And trending up. Oh, wait a minute. I forgot the number. The number didn't come out yet.
It's trending up because we're at 1268. That's right.
And trending up.
Mm-hmm. Number 4 is Ubuntu with 2045.
And trending up.
Number 3 is Magia with 2246.
And trending up.
And number 2 is OpenSUSE with 2759.
And trending up.
And at number 1 with 2974. Is Mint.
Gotta love that minty goodness, but it's trending down.
Yeah, it's still at number 1, though.
How many flavors of it?
Just can't get that out of your craw, can you, Mary?
Yeah, I can. All right, we're going to move on.
All right. Yeah, so that's it for the distro stuff.
Mary, what's on SDA6 this week?
You asked, because I do. This week, my review is of Turnkey Linux. If you recall, we had that on our list last week. Looked very interesting to me because it's different, and so I always like to look at different distros. I mean, not different distros, but distros that are different. And I guess I could kind of categorize this as 100 distros of Linux on the wall, 100 distros of Linux, take one down, boot in the cloud, 99 distros of Linux on the wall, because Turnkey Linux, really...
Wait a minute. Isn't there a song that goes like that?
How's that go, Mary?
100 distros on the wall.
Yeah, 100 distros of Linux on the wall. 100 distros of Linux. Take one down, boot in the cloud. 99 distros of Linux on the wall.
All right.
I can't believe I'm sitting in front of people.
We goaded you into it.
You did. And I went right along with it. And also easily, I went right along with that. But anyway, I have to confess that preparing this Linux distro review is one of the more interesting and fun activities that I've had to date, except when I won that bet with Matt. What I found so fun about Turnkey Linux is that it's really not a single distro, but over 100 specially constructed, ready-to-use distros. These distros are special-purpose distros preloaded with application packages, tuned up and ready to go. Now, for this week's review, I had to throw out my standard format, you know, where I tell you the default browser, the mail client, Office Suite, and all that, because it didn't really apply. But I do have some vitals for you. Of course, the name is Turnkey Linux. The maintainers are Alan Swartz and Liraz Suri. The distro's latest birthday, 12.0, was released on August 30th, 2012. Now, it's a derivative of Debian Squeeze 6.0.4, which for the 12.0 release was transitioned from Ubuntu. So previous to 12, they were Ubuntu-based, but they went to Debian. And they did it...
For stability reasons?
No, not stability as much as I think
consistency
that,
in packages?
Yeah, I think it had to do with packaging, but they were very respectful to Ubuntu and all the things that Ubuntu has done. I'm going to look at Tony when I say that because I know you're going to make some smart crack. But anyway, they... But it's because I think about 25% of Ubuntu's packages are in the, like 25% of the main repository. But anyway, it's package based, and that Debian had a broader.
Yeah, and they're more stable. They don't change, mm-hmm. you know, what packages they're going to use for this.
Exactly.
You know, every and other distro release.
Exactly, and you can tell because the kernel they're based on is 2.6.32.
Well, that's most of your older server distros, like CentOS, Red Hat. Mm-hmm. They're all 2.6 kernels.
Yeah.
2.6 kernels. So.
Yep. And that's really what's going on here because these are all servers, really, when you think about it. And the review desktop, well, it's really not applicable because, again, when you boot a Turnkey Linux appliance, you're booting into a browser. Actually, you go to a browser to that particular IP address, and then you've got your login screen for depending on what it is. So,
you said there were what, two developers?
Well, they're maintainers.
Maintainers.
There's more. There are more people associated with the project, but these are the two leads.
Yeah, because just two guys wouldn't be able to do 100 different virtual machines, keep 100 different images up. They got to have a heck of a team with them.
Yeah, but these are not. I wouldn't call them virtual machines either, because they're really what they do. They're appliances, and the appliances fall into these categories. They've got web development appliances, so that. You basically fire up this preformed server because it's got the base operating system on it, only what it needs to run this particular function. For example, a LAMP stack, Nginx. They got Ruby on Rails where you can just fire this up, and bingo, you've got a Ruby on Rails install. It's all taken care of, all configured for you. Content management. You can boot Drupal, Joomla, OpenPhoto. They also have shopping cart apps, too, that is a full-fledged and configured shopping cart. All you have to do is add your products and pricing and all that type of thing. Business management, Sugar CRM, Simple Invoice, Bamboo Invoices. Must be for things you buy in China. I don't know. I'm just kidding. Just kidding. Process Maker. A particular app that I've used or I've tested and played around with, Lime Survey. So you can create surveys. Messaging, PHP, BB, issue tracking, Collaptive, iScrum, Bugzilla, and of course databases, MySQL, Postgres, SQL, MongoDB, CouchDB. And then of course they've got cloud app development servers for Google, Amazon, etc. I mean, they've just got so many. Now, I was amazed at the breadth of available appliances. Each consists of the Turnkey Linux core system, which is what I first downloaded and I installed into this. You know, again, it was just a basic command line thing, but that's just the core. And really, you're going to use that if you're going to do some development and that type of thing. But if you want something already made, you just download one of these appliances. Now, there are a couple of options for installing Turnkey Linux locally. You can do it on a virtual machine, which is how I did it, or you can put it on a physical machine. And I use VirtualBox, of course, for my local testing. The second way, or another way you can do it, is via Amazon Web Services, specifically EC2, with an option to back up to Amazon S3. And for those of you who aren't familiar with that, EC2 is the Elastic Compute Cloud. And Amazon S3 is what, Simple Storage Service, I think it is?
Hmm.
Anyway, so I already had accounts.
I've used the Amazon. It's pretty nice. They have, I don't know if they still do it, but they had a free tier for a while where if you use the lightest version of it, then
they
you
still
can,
have
it's
that.
Free for a year.
I think it's called Micro or something like
yeah.
that. And you get some very basic things.
Yeah, and you can
and
run
I
a,
use it in conjunction
decent,
with this. Yeah.
A decent website would run from that fine.
Mm-hmm.
It's just when you want to do some more processing and more RAM and stuff, that's when you need a larger one.
Yeah, because I think I use what they called the small version, which is up from the micro, which I think you're describing. So I think for all my testing and everything, I maybe used about a couple of dollars or something like that. And
so a couple hours on there? And
oh, no, it was overnight. I mean, I left this thing running overnight.
Oh, wow.
And I went back to it. And it really wasn't that expensive. But, you know, and now we're talking about Amazon, we're talking about local, but you don't need an account at Turnkey Linux to download and test an appliance locally, but you do need an account at Turnkey if you want to use Amazon Web Services. Setting up the account is easy, but requires a form of payment such as a credit card, and that's for Amazon, not for the Turnkey Hub. even if you're not incurring any costs, you have to have a form of payment available. Just in case, that's right. So I threw my Visa card in there, and you know, we're good. Now, each appliance can be downloaded. Again, this is if you're going to do it locally. In 6 different builds from the Turnkey Hub. Now, the Turnkey, let me just say a couple things about the Turnkey Hub. That is kind of the nerve center or the control center for your appliances, because server management, and I'm not talking about server admin where you might be changing something related to networking or something like that. That's done on the server. But just the management of the server account is done in the Turnkey Hub with Turnkey Linux, not Amazon. Amazon is just the receptacle for this. And by the way, too, when if you and like myself, I already have an Amazon S3 account. Your Turnkey Linux content is stored separately in S3. It's not commingled with your generic bucket. Your buckets, you know those buckets that you get.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not commingled with that. It's separate.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. I thought that was kind of interesting, and I didn't realize that until a little later when I read it. Anyway, so now the appliances can be downloaded in 6 different builds from the Turnkey Hub. You can download it as an ISO, VMDK, which I think is for VMware, and I believe VirtualBox also recognizes it, OVF, which I believe is for VirtualBox. You can download it in OpenStack, OpenVZ, and Xen. The two I tested were VMDK and OVF. Each is handled differently by VirtualBox. If you're going to use the OVF, you've got to import it. If you're going to set up the VMDK, you use that as an existing hard drive. So you want to make sure that you follow the instructions on Turnkey's site as far as how you're going to set that up, because there are for example, I encountered a minor glitch during the process and attributed it to me not changing the default network setting in VirtualBox from NAT to bridged. I inadvertently left it as NAT, and what happened is that I couldn't communicate with my with the server. It wasn't coming up, because when you bring up the browser with the address, it wasn't working. So as soon as I made that change, the Turnkey appliance booted without incident. Now, I'm going to have a link in my review to the build page there that talks about the build. It's basically a table that I'll list all their builds, you know, the ISO, OVF, et cetera, and it gives you specific information about them. So I found that to be very informative. Now, the installed, and by the way, too, obviously there is no live environment with this. You just import it or get it set up in VirtualBox and go. And if you're going to do it in Amazon Web Service, it's a piece of cake. You go to that page, you go to your hub page, and you just simply say new server. There's a drop-down list that has the 100 listed. You select what you want, and you just boot that server. You've got it.
So it's available right at Amazon.
It's available in Yeah, I mean, and Hub connects to Amazon because you've set up the you've given it the credentials, and you can I think you can set up a pass key and all of that, or there are a couple different ways as far as security goes how that's handled. But yeah, it's a drop down list, and you just select what you want, and away you go. Now it will prompt you. There is a little setup set of screens that'll prompt you for the root password that you're going to be using. The admin password, some passwords, depending on what appliance you're using. So you supply that information, and you're ready to go. So when you first boot into your appliance, you're asked if you want to install security updates. Now, Turnkey Linux is configured to auto-install them every day. Now, you can opt not to do that if for some reason you're doing something and you want to not install the security updates, but the recommendation is that you go ahead and install those. Now, admin access to your turnkey appliance is accomplished via several options, and this is what I thought was really pretty interesting. And this is all available from that server management dashboard at the Hub site. Admin access can be done via shell in a box, so that you're in a browser and you open up, you've got your shell access to it, you log in, and away you go. Webmin is available too. You click on the Webmin link, and it's gonna log you in, or you supply your credentials, and it will log you into Webmin.
Yeah, Webmin's nice.
It is. It's the same Webmin that you do, or that you've got available to you if you got this, your own server and you've installed it.
Yeah, we have a control panel we offer at work, and if they don't want to pay for our control panel, we'll install Webmin for them for free. They'll get to use Webmin.
Yeah. All right. So yep, and it's there, and I've used it before, and look to be fully available. And then finally, if you want to SSH in directly to the turnkey appliance, you can do that too. So, I mean, there's a number of different ways that when you're going to administer the server itself to do that. Now, backups. Backups are handled by the Turnkey Linux Backup and Migration Tool, which is TKLBAM. I called it TickleBAM. I mean, it's the easiest way to say it, right? So by default, TickleBAM is designed to work with Amazon S3 servers, although it can be configured to work with non-S3 addresses. Although the backup service is initiated from your Hub dashboard, starting the service is done via a web shell. So what you need to do is you need to open up the shell through shell in a box, and you type in TickleBAM dash, I think it's backup. Now, what was peculiar for me is I want to try to test that out so I can report on it. Unfortunately, my dash key, because there's a dash between those two terms, was not working. Yeah, I had no dash. So I couldn't put the command in to actually back it up. I wanted to just see how it would back up because, again, there's only a few megabytes from the file, from the server. So I was unable to do it. But I think it was just something related. I thought maybe it was like an ASCII character thing and I was going to have to try a different ASCII character or something. I don't know. It was a problem. I couldn't get it done. I'm sorry to say.
Now, was it an N dash or an M dash?
See, that's what I was wondering, too. All I know is that the little key next to the zero on my keyboard with the dash wasn't working. So whatever dash that is.
That's an N dash.
N dash.
What are the two dashes you're talking about?
N dash and M dash.
Because one is two dashes and one is one.
But one is as long as a single dash, one is as long as a double dash. They're called an N and M because one is as long as wide as
narrow.
The letter N and one is as wide as the letter M.
You ever notice when you've put two dashes in and then you type?
Then they turn into one dash.
One dash?
Yeah.
That's an M dash.
Well, I've only seen that in like...
Two N's equal an M, I think. Is that the math?
Yeah. All right.
Something like that.
Huh.
But anyway, so unfortunately, I can't really go into any detail about the backup. But again, they've outlined it pretty clearly. It's very simple. You just, TickleBAM dash backup and... it's going to go and automatically set up a backup for you. Now, when the backup completes, according to the site, when the backup completes, you'll be able to manage the new backup record in the backup's dashboard. Again, this is on the Hub site because that's really where all that server management activity occurs. As I said, I didn't spend any significant time working with backups. Let's see here. Yeah, regardless of what I, you know, regardless of the fact I couldn't get my backup to go, I was very impressed with Turnkey Linux, how easy it is to set these things up, and it's really worthwhile just to go ahead and play around with it. One little note, if you do install locally, you're going to, once the system presents you with a list of web addresses, just go ahead and take that local host address and plop it into a browser, and assuming that you've got you've got Bridge in there and not NAT, then you're going to be taken right to the admin page of that application. If it's Joomla, you'll get the Joomla admin login page, et cetera. Again, very impressive, and I rate it 5 cups of a very tasty brew. Or maybe 4.5 because of my backup issue.
Well, the backup issue was caused by your dash key not working, which could have been
Exactly. You're absolutely right, Matt. But I agree with you this time.
Yeah, that sounds like a really cool, thing there.
Yeah, and I mean, to really play around with it, all you just need to do is install VirtualBox locally just to test it out.
I might give it a try on Amazon. That sounds pretty cool.
Yeah, and the number of available apps is amazing. So, all right. So there you have it.
Sweet. Yeah, I really like Turnkey also. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Have you used it, Tony? Have you used it before?
I did a long time, about 2 years ago, when I was messing around with stuff. I looked into it and played with it. And I was looking at doing one. They have one called Etherpad. Did you see that one?
Oh, I've heard of that, and it may have been listed. I can't recall.
I've never looked at Turnkey Linux at all.
I was listening to a podcast this week, and I think it was Door, if I remember right. Maybe it wasn't him.
Mm-hmm.
But he was talking about it, how it's similar to Google Docs, but on your own server. But I didn't get to go in and look at it. I wanted to try to crank it up and look at it, but I haven't had a chance to. So
yeah, so I say give it a go.
Yeah, that's cool.
Because that Lime survey I mentioned that I had played around with, I had to set up the MySQL database. Basically not set it up. That's a little exaggeration. I had to get the account set up. I had to get the root account set up on my ISP provider, but my hosting service. I had to do all that. I then had to make sure that I had the right version of PHP. There's the whole MySQL, all that kind of stuff. Just a series of steps. I had to change some of the configuration files so I could get all this to go.
Oh yeah.
And so. And it takes a little time. I mean, I was able to do it, so that's not a problem. But what's so beautiful about this is you just click that thing. I want that fired up, and then it boots it.
It's ready to go.
It's ready to go.
It's time for the tech news of the week.
I only have two very brief stories this week. Okay, on to the first story. The first story up is Kenya dumps proprietary software. The Kenyan government has issued a statement that they are getting rid of their proprietary software. They will be switching to open source alternatives. The purpose of the move is an attempt at cost cutting. The move is expected to reduce their software cost by 20% initially. This is expected to grow to 80% over the next 3 years. The move is going to start with databases being moved to open source alternatives in the following departments: the Kenya Revenue Authority, the Central Bank of Kenya, the Ministry of Finance, and the Department of Integrated Population. Brief story, but to the point.
Yeah. That's right.
Next up, we have Red Hat buys BPM technology developed by Polymeda. This purchase builds on Red Hat's desire to improve productivity for end users. The move will greatly increase their move into the business process management arena. This acquisition will help augment JBoss, their enterprise middleware software. Here is what Red Hat's Vice President and General Manager of Middleware, Craig Muzilla, had to say. How's that for a name, though?
I was just going to say Mozilla. Now, just think, if you write that U a little fast, it'd be Mozilla. Sometimes you know you write a U and it looks like an O.
Yeah.
Or typically it's O, looks like a U. All right, I'm done.
He said, "The ability to change rapidly is an absolute necessity for business in today's enterprise environment. Organizations that do not empower their business users to quickly and effectively modify automated business processes forfeit the ability to remain agile, competitive, and relevant. Polymedia's technology enhances Red Hat's JBoss Enterprise middleware portfolio and specifically complements JBoss Enterprise BRMS and JBPM, which I have no idea what those acronyms stand for. Don't ask.
Okay.
I all saw right. it coming, Mary. And that's all I have for the news this week.
All right.
Thank you, Matt.
You're welcome.
So, Mary, I saw you had a couple of things.
Oh, yeah. I've got my KDE cornered this week. KDE SC 4.10, the release schedule for it was released, and it looks like it's going to be available by late January, so I have a link to that in the show notes. And then speaking of releases in KDE, 4.9.1 was released this past week, and one thing I noted about that is it includes a fix for my favorite bug, if I can say a bug is my favorite. Actually, my favorite as far as wanting a fix for it, and that's that delay. I think I had spoken about this when I upgraded my laptop a couple of weeks ago, is that you can, when you want to move a small window, you take your cursor up there to the title bar, and then you kind of click and drag it. Well, what happened with 4.9 is that there was a delay until your cursor had moved a prescribed number of pixels, and then the window started moving, which is not how it should be. When you click and start to move your cursor, that window should start to move. So mm-hmm. that was bug 304.249 for anyone who's interested. Probably no one, but anyway, so I was happy to see that that is fixed.
All right. Yeah, every time I see something like that, I always think of just that your hardware running slow or your video driver, but it was actually a bug in
KDE. Yep, it was. Yeah, apparently the cursor had to go so many pixels or something before it. So I'll be happy to see that get fixed in my on my laptop. It's a little annoying. Or no, not my laptop. It's my desktop at home. That's where it is.
Ah.
All right, so moving on. Digicam software collection 2.9.0 is out. And this particular release is mostly to fix some bugs, which is usually what the... Oh, actually, 2.9. I was going to say 2.9.1. Usually the point ones are all the bug fix release.
Oh, yeah.
But I'll have a link to that in the show notes. And then lastly, on the KDE corner, there's a new KDE game that's going to be released. And what you'll be seeing is it's called Pick Me. What I used to say when I was a kid, pick me, pick me.
Right.
No, just kidding. But PICMI, it's a Sudoku type of game, if you like that kind of thing.
I love Sudoku.
Do you?
I think I have three books floating around the house.
All right. Really?
Yeah.
Sudoku makes me insane.
Just because you can't play it.
I cannot. And it makes me insane.
Now that's the numbers, right?
Yeah.
The numbers we get, they have to add to certain things.
I think you just need somebody to show you how to. Because I wouldn't play it for a long time until somebody
showed
me
how to play. No, my father-in-law has tried, trust me. He's like the Sudoku master.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I understand how to play. It just hurts my head.
Okay. Well, anyway, for those of you who are interested, KDE is going to have a game along those lines, and the link to the information or the release of that information will be in the show notes. And then one other K news, Kubuntu, they've released the first beta of 12.1.0 or 12.10, I guess I should say, 1.0, whoops. And the screenshot, they had some screenshots, and I've got a link to that too. So obviously if Kubuntu released it, Ubuntu must have released theirs too.
Exactly, I saw that as a development release.
Yep.
This week. Yep.
Yep. First beta, so that's kind of exciting.
Yeah, a lot of the.
If I'm still on Kubuntu.
This weekend is the Ubuntu Bug Jam. So
yeah,
that's
you said something
that's
about
a worldwide that. Thing going on. Mm-hmm. All the locos in the area get together and basically you load the beta on your computer and find a bug and report it.
So you sit around doing that?
Yeah. Yeah, and they
get pizza and pop and
snacks and stuff.
Yep.
Depending on your local.
Look for bugs. And if you're a programmer, you then attempt to squash the bug. But if you're not, you just report it, and then hopefully a programmer will squash it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. And then the last thing I have, and I think we talked about my little Raspberry Pi and how I'm not doing anything with it right now. That's why it has a little bed. There was an article, and I've got the link in the show notes, how to develop your own Raspberry Pi operating system.
Hmm.
Now, the article that contained that had a link in it to to a school's whole course on how to create an operating system. So,
oh, that's cool.
Yeah, words like assembler, I think, was mentioned. And I was thinking, school assembly? No, no, assembler language. But anyway, yeah, so if you are interested in that type of thing, there'll be a link to that in the show notes. So,
sweet.
But yeah, those are some of the things I saw this week and just wanted to do a quick mention of.
Didn't you say something about there's one of the podcasts talked about the fork, the Nautilus fork that Mint is doing?
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't a podcast. It was in the news. It was an article in the news.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Clem?
Oh, Clem Lefebvre? Yeah. Oh, yeah, the Mint maintainer. He calls Gnome's changes a catastrophe.
No, the Nautilus changes to Nautilus.
Oh, yeah, Nautilus changes, yes.
Yeah.
We talked about that, too, some of the stuff they're pulling out of there.
Yeah, it's just crazy.
And that's why they're forking it to make Nemo.
Nemo. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not to be confused with Nemo the fish.
That's right. Finding Nemo.
But it's probably it has a different...
No, it's... You know why they called it Nemo?
Why?
Because it's Nautilus, and they named it... There's Nemo after Captain Nemo of the Nautilus.
Yeah, that's cool.
Mm-hmm. So thanks for reminding me about that.
Yeah.
And the last thing I have, which I don't think is in anything I sent you guys ahead of time, or made available ahead of time... Did you see that Fedora?
They delayed again.
Yeah.
Because you know why? Because Fedora is not tied to some artificial timeline. They're tied to getting it right.
Well, then, if they're
unlike another distribution who ties themselves to an artificial timeline and then releases with bugs.
What makes it artificial? I don't understand.
It's just a set timeline. We're going to release. We're going to release at this time, regardless of whether we're done or not.
Oh, yeah, that's not true. That's not how they do it, man.
Fake.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly.
It's a real timeline.
It's a real timeline.
Yeah. It's a real timeline, and they have feature freeze.
Right, right.
It's an artificial. Yeah. Well,
Tony, let's gang up on him.
I see it as an artificial, more arbitrary. Arbitrary would be a better word than artificial.
Okay.
You're right.
Okay.
An arbitrary timeline.
Well, it's not arbitrary because
it is. It's this date, whether we're done or not. Boom. That's
it's
arbitrary.
Not whether
that's
we're done or not.
That's a plan. That arbitrary is like, oh, I guess we'll do it on this day.
Yeah.
No.
You're going to have to get out Mr. Dictionary.
They've
no.
Their whole plan. The whole plan for the
Mary has now run away to laugh so hard.
No, but the whole plan is that it's a cyclic release.
Yeah, whatever.
They release at the same time.
I'm pulling up my dictionary. Matt, we're gonna get to the bottom.
Whatever.
They've released in April and October every year for the last 6 years.
Yeah,
whether they were ready or not.
It's heavily planned. And
when have they not been ready? I do agree.
When have they not been ready? Did you just say when have they not been ready? I don't know. What caused this? Oh, this 0.1 release that they've never had before. Oh.
They've had it before.
Yeah.
Yeah. Other times they've released and they weren't ready.
The LTSs
don't count because they're maintained.
Oh, okay.
No, because they're maintained for so long that that's why they have to have them.
But this last release that you're referring to, the 0.1, is an LTS.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, but they actually had it before another release, which they don't normally do. You got to admit that.
I don't know the history behind all the releases, so I can't.
What are you doing, Mary?
What am I doing?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm showing the yerba mate.
Oh. Are we going to have some of that?
Well, I brought the tea bags. Where's the... We're going to have
I got to heat up some water, I guess, huh?
Yeah, that's generally what you do if you want to have some... You want to have a beverage of this type. But yeah, so just for anyone
after the
who's
show.
Listening...
We'll partake after the show and tell everybody about it next week.
Yeah, yerba mate. So I brought the tea bags.
In honor of the mate desktop.
That's right. So... And the fact that it's in tea bags has nothing to do with any politics. All right, we're going to move on.
All right. Moving on, I don't have any news.
You don't have any news?
I saw one thing. I didn't write about it, but it was kind of cool, I thought.
Mm-hmm.
And it was Oracle was ordered to pay Google $1 million to cover their legal fees.
Wow.
Did you see that?
I did not see that.
Yeah. Oracle was ordered to pay Google $1 million to cover their legal fees.
Wow. That's a lot of legal fees.
Yeah.
Well, you know, attorneys, they bill it $500, $600, $700 an hour.
Yep.
Hmm.
And when somebody else is paying, I guess you get to rack up those billables.
Believe me, yeah. Oh, yeah. Putting that donut run in there. No, that's just right. Kidding.
Now it's time for Mary's quiz show. Is it alive?
Yes, that's right. Is it alive or is it dead? During this segment of the show, I challenge Matt and Tony to identify whether a Linux distro is alive or dead. And, of course, as Matt was happy to learn, this week is not Twist Week,
that's
so right. I didn't put a little twist on the twist. So we're going to go back to our regular format, and I've got some distros for you guys. So let me know when you're ready.
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 All right. The first one is Euronode.
What?
Euronode.
Is this
Euronode?
Are you sure this isn't Did Mary Make This Up Week?
No, I know. That was our twist week, and I already have my twist for the next time.
Euronode. Yeah. I'm going to go with dead.
Not you're a nerd.
I'm going alive.
All right. Euronode was a Linux distribution based on Debian, which transformed a simple computer to a high-performance server or router in a few minutes. Euronode scripts automated the process of installation and configuration. Sounds like turnkey Linux, but 20 years ago. I mean, that's what it was old, is what it is. I mean, it's like 94 or something like that. So, Tony,
wow.
Okay, I'm sorry. All right, the next one is Linux. And that's
N-E-X.
Linux. Yeah, L-I-N-E-X.
I'm going to say alive.
I'm going to go alive also.
Linux was a Linux distribution developed by Extremadura regional government in Spain.
Yeah, I thought so, and I thought that they were still...
Well, I'll tell you, I went to their site. The site is now up. It's parked. There's no download there. I don't think they've had anything for a couple of years. I'm not sure what happened there, but from what I was able to tell, it...
Yeah,
it's
I remembered
dead.
Him. I remembered him as being that state-sponsored distribution.
Yep.
And, I thought they were still active.
Something happened there. So it's dead. It's dead. It's not coming back. Okay. So that little girl says. All right. This one is Galpon Minino. Now that's Spanish.
Spanish. I was going to go French.
Galpon. Galpon Minino.
I'll say dead.
I'm going to say dead.
I'm going to say its English name, okay?
Okay.
Pussycat Shed. Is a Linux distribution.
It is.
That's right. Designed to run on computers with limited hardware resources. It's alive. And it's called Pussycat Shed. When I did the translation on Chrome, I just started laughing. I said, "Oh, this one's in." So yeah, that's. So
I'm not going to even make any double innuendos or there or anything. I promise.
All right. And we're going to hold you to it. No. All right. The next one. We're moving on. This is called Arc Live.
I would say alive.
I'm going to say dead.
Because isn't that Arch's Live CD?
Arc Live is a Brazilian distribution for a live DVD and pen drive. Now they must have put this through some translation program to come up with this sentence. The choice for x86 was made as this is most familiar to most users, but installations for other architectures are not structurally. That was it. It's alive though. They've got a download site there.
What's that make it now? 2-0.
I don't know.
All right. R.I.P.
Rest Linux. In peace, Linux.
Now, I just had one that had the word alive in it. Now, here's one that's R.I.P.
I'm going to say dead.
I have to go opposite. I'm going to say alive.
R.I.P. Rescue is possible is... A small, are you catching up, Tony? specialized Linux distribution based on Slackware that includes system maintenance and recovery applications on a live CD or USB flash drive. Comes in two flavors. You can get it with X Windows or without. So Tony.
I'm on the board.
Tony is on the board. Tony's in second place. All right, this next one is Kaella.
Kaella?
How do you spell that?
Yeah, spelling.
K-A-E-L-L-A. Kaella?
K-A-E-L-L-A.
I'm going to say dead.
Yeah, I'm going dead also.
Canopix Linux Azure, that's what it stands for, was a French effort at remastering the Knoppix Live CD with complete support for French. So, there it is. So I think it was 2-1, right?
2-1.
Boy, no. I tell you.
3-1.
Oh, 3. Oh.
Or 3-2.
3-2?
Oh, well, same spread.
No, because 2-1 would be double my points. Okay. 3-2.
Yeah, there you
is
go.
Only
that's
a third
right.
more.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. That's how you work those statistics.
Yeah, Amanda at school says that she took a stats class for math, mm-hmm. and she said it's exactly the same as her AP stats class in high school. So it's
a breeze.
Yeah.
So you're paying for it?
Yeah.
Oh, you're not laughing anymore. Really? So
yeah.
So what's she going to be doing now while class is going on? She's still going to class?
Yes.
Okay. Because she's a good kid.
Yes.
All right. So join us in 2 weeks when we have another edition, unless you guys have one next week.
No, nah, because we're going to let Kevin do his own stuff. So.
Okay. All right, so then I am correct. Join us in 2 weeks when we have another edition of Is It Alive?
All right.
All right.
Okay. Well, there we have it.
And so we do. So you're just talking about 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that means, I don't know if we've told anybody yet, but you're not going to be here next week.
That's right.
And we've opted not to do
a remote.
Yeah,
I think in
mostly because Mary's going to be
I'm going to be
out of touch in the Upper Peninsula.
She's not even have cell access or internet access or anything.
I'll be near Lake Superior. And
yeah,
there's probably
cool.
not wireless up there. I'll bring a computer though, just in case.
I've been up to the Pitchard Rocks. That's nice up there, Lake Superior.
Yeah,
I have never been to the Upper Peninsula.
Oh yeah, if you like trees, it's the place to go.
Yeah,
I
like
don't
pine
like trees.
Trees. Oh well, you
personally,
probably don't like it.
Personally, my motto is: if I can't get up at 2 o'clock in the morning and have a Slurpee in my hand in 15 minutes, I am not anywhere near where I want to be.
Mine is if there's not a Marriott within hiking distance, I'm not going. No, but Pictured Rocks. One thing of interest there is we took the tour. And, of course, you're out on Lake Superior. You can kind of go in amongst the various rock formations. They have this cave there, and because the water table is so high, at least it was when we were there, that you can go into this cave, and it's raining. And it's raining because the water table is above the ceiling of the cave. And,
the water is filtering through?
Yeah, it's just the water kind of precipitating out of the rock formation.
Yeah, filtering down through the rocks.
That's really,
ooh,
really pretty cool.
I bet you that will be tasty. Did you drink any?
No, because we didn't really go
salty.
Into it. We just went up by it.
But it'd be salty.
It would definitely have a mineral flavor.
Yeah.
Not necessarily salt, depending on what kind of stone it was going through. But, I bet it would be tasty. Tasty, tasty water.
Mm. I think it's high in iron. I think that's where the colors come from.
Yeah.
If it has reddish hues on the stone, then it would be high in iron.
Could be.
If it's coming through limestone, though, that makes for tasty water.
All right.
I have no idea.
I'm surprised you don't know. Did you not take survivalist stuff in the Boy Scouts, Tony?
I did.
Did you? I got my survivalist.
Your militia.
Tasty
your militia.
Opinion.
Definitely opinion. But we learned like different waters would taste different when they came through different rocks. And no, we did.
Well, I'm sure you did.
I did. We did these things. Well, when I was an explorer, more than when I was a Boy Scout. Where it was survivalist training, you got a little quarter pound of hamburger, and that's all the food they gave you.
Was it in a wrapper?
Wrapped up in like butcher paper.
Okay.
And that was all the food they gave you for like 3 days. The rest of you had to hunt yourself.
Was it cold?
Well, it started out cold. If you didn't eat it right away, it didn't stay cold.
Well, what you do is
you cook it right away.
And then you make it stretch.
Yeah. But no, then you had to make snares and snare animals and things. And
wow.
Hmm.
I usually just go down to my local Outback Steakhouse and snare there.
No, when I was a young child, I was much more into the outdoors than
okay.
I am now.
Okay.
Mostly because I weighed 200 pounds less.
That'll do it. All right.
Yeah.
It's listener feedback time.
And we have a listener feedback line. And that number is 313-626-9140.
We have a ton of listener feedback
yeah.
this week.
So, Mary, you said you got an email from the SynArch guy, right?
Yes, the maintainer. I don't, you know, it's sitting at home. But it was Alexander Figliera, I believe it was. And he wanted to just he thanked me for mentioning SynArch and doing the review, and he was going to first of all, he's going to fix the GNOME keyring, because I think he had originally said that he was going to do that at the end of August, so that's, I think, in the works. But I think some of the items I had mentioned, he was going to also take
yeah,
a look at.
Yeah, with the installer, the CLI
installer,
installer and
yeah.
stuff.
Yeah,
yeah,
so
that's cool.
I thought that was nice. But as I told him, I enjoyed that install process. I mean, it was interesting to see, and I thought, you know, Cinnamon Arch was a nice combination.
Yeah.
I don't remember. What did you give it for cups? What did you get for cups?
Oh, wow. I probably gave it like 3.5 to 4. Really? Yeah, because I liked it. So well, anyway, that's when I
took notice, though, and he's going to fix the GNOME keyring.
Yeah, well, but they were already going to fix it before I merely mentioned it because it affected how I think I couldn't get wireless because I couldn't.
Get the driver.
Yeah, I couldn't, the key. Well, yeah, I couldn't unlock the something or other.
Hmm.
Or store the
right,
key.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool. And we had a couple people, they also loved the same alphabet, different letters.
Oh, yeah.
Omar on Google+, and then that dude from our website, they both commented on that and thought it was really funny.
Thought it was hilarious. It was. It cracked me up, man.
Yeah, and then, your laugh was really good with that, too.
Yeah, that distinctive Matt laugh.
What do you mean?
Huh?
What are you saying?
Your laugh is distinctive.
I'm unaware.
All right.
Oh, it's a good thing you're from far away as you are. All right, so.
He also gives a suggestion for Matt's soapbox.
Yes.
But that's, did you get to look at that?
I did, and I went and looked at it too, and I had actually read that before.
Did you?
And it was quite the interesting to-do to follow on Google+, but. Mm-hmm. It was the kernel maintainers going back and forth with the GNOME butt boys. Oh, did I say that? Anyway.
Yes, you did.
And I don't know. The kernel maintainers, I think, have it right. GNOME causes their own problems.
So. Well, you take a look at some of the decisions they've made.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. They and then they blame it on the kernel maintainers and Linus's attitude. And it's just looking for somebody else to blame than themselves.
So. Well, and I mean, do you see that with other desktops?
No, you don't. I mean, KDE had their problems when they went to 4.0, but hey, they actually have gone past it, through it, and come out a much better desktop environment.
Yeah,
they have. It's fantastic now. And I can't say enough how much I'm glad that you convinced me to try give KDE another shot, because they really torqued me off so bad with that 4.0 release.
Oh, they torqued a lot of people off.
I left and didn't even look back.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I'm still on KDE right now, too. So I never thought I'd go to KDE for any more than just a few days. And I think this is 3 weeks now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's great. It's 100% functional. It's what I'm looking for in a desktop.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, there's still a couple things that I wish.
Like what, Tony? Like what?
Differently.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Well, I'm curious because I don't find anything at all.
There's so many things in the file browser that I got used to that GNOME or that Nautilus did that I want.
See, I think Dolphin is a much better file browser.
What do you want it to do? Because it probably can do it. Maybe.
I don't know. It's like every other thing that I do, and then I don't think about it. But one of them is the links along the side.
Mm-hmm.
By default, Nautilus gave you all your. Like the most popular folders, so you can add it in. And I've done that to a couple of them.
The
other one that it doesn't do is when I mount SSHFS mounts, Nautilus put it in that sidebar as if it's like a drive you plugged in and mounted, where Dolphin doesn't do that. So I have to browse to the folder that I mounted it at.
Yeah, oh, okay. I do. I have to say that about Nautilus. I'm not necessarily. I don't know about the new one that they've stripped all the functionality out of, but it does handle remote mounts way better. I have never got a Samba share to mount in Dolphin ever, but in Nautilus it just mounts them.
Yeah. That's actually, well, I guess if you do the command to mount it, I've never had the browsing in Nautilus to work right, but I did it just the other day in Dolphin and it worked great.
No, the browsing. The browsing for the Samba share.
Yeah,
never works for me in Dolphin, but it works right away. In Nautilus.
Opposite for me.
That's now that is odd. No, it's not odd. Looking at you, man. No, just kidding. Hey, here's my question. Do you have that Samba share in FS tab listed as something that is there? Or is that just something that you do?
No. It's because it would only be at certain locations when you were there.
Oh, okay.
You know the other.
I was just
trying
to figure out why.
When I try to run two instances of a program, and like Dolphin is one, and I can't think of another one, but it doesn't. When I go to click at the bottom, it just brings up what I already have open.
Yeah, what you have to do you're clicking the shortcut at the bottom.
Yeah,
which for the file manager is actually the file that you've opened. It changes. It's no longer an icon. The icon changes into the So what you got to do is you got to click the little Fedora button and then click the file manager and it'll open a second.
Yeah, find that Fedora button up.
Yeah.
Tony and click
right.
it.
Right.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm sure it's right next
not,
to
not
the...
Not Fedora, but the
K. Yeah.
The K button. Down
I
there.
Get it. Yeah. Yeah. No, but I like the activities. I think that's awesome.
I haven't done anything with the activities yet.
I end up using it for the same thing pretty much. It hasn't really impacted me that much with the
KDE. And you know what I don't like, though, is that desktop folder. But guess what? I can turn it off.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah. I know. You can do a ton of configuration. Oh, that desktop folder where you've got that container.
Yeah.
Yeah, I turned that off, too.
Yeah, I did, too.
Because I like no icons on my desktop.
Featured music of the week.
I don't know if I can pronounce this, but...
Is it one that you came up with?
No, it's one that Mary suggested.
Oh.
Electrons.
Oh, Electrons.
As the artist.
Uh-huh.
And Iziba as the song. Ibiza. Ibiza.
Ibiza.
Ibiza.
I think, yeah, Ibiza.
So,
and Ibiza, I believe, is an island. It's kind of like a resort area.
Nobody cares.
Well, I wanted to just, for anyone who happened to be listening who cared, I wanted to just let them know.
All right.
It's like a resort island, I think. We'll be right back.
Yeah, so you've been listening to the Sunday Morning Linux Review. This is episode 48, the Happy Birthday to Mary. This is Tony Bemis.
Matt Enders.
And Mary Tomich.
Saying, have a good week. See you next week.
I'll see you in 2 weeks.
2 weeks. Yeah, and Kevin's going to be on next week.
Yes, Kevin O'Brien is going to be the guest host next week, so I'm sure we'll hear a little bit about OLF, too.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, any updates and stuff. That'll be cool. So that's a good reason to listen in.
Yeah. Hey, you know, I heard one of the podcasts they were talking about OLF and a couple other things going on around it. I thought, now I may have been doing something else at the moment, but I thought they said that Oktoberfest is happening at the same time down there. I thought that's what they said. Although, wouldn't October be the next week?
No, but see, October, well, here's the strange thing.
Oktoberfest really happens all
in fall. September.
Oh, really?
No, I've been to Oktoberfest in Munich.
Oh, really?
Yes, and it really happens in September. It's like the last 2 weeks of September, which I always thought was kind of strange because it's Oktoberfest. Where here, we tend to celebrate in October.
Yeah.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Ignition. Liftoff.
We are counting down to the 10th annual Ohio Linux Fest. Join us in Columbus for a weekend jam-packed with your favorite open-source software. On Friday, get professional training at Ohio Linux Fest Institute, or come to see the Early Penguins Talks. Saturday brings a full set of presentations, including the new Beginner's Track. Don't forget to stop by the display booths featuring prominent vendors and community projects. Sunday wraps up with LPI and BSDA certification exams, as well as the Diversity and Open Source Workshop. It all happens September 28, 29, and 30 at the Greater Columbus Convention Center. Visit ohiolinux.org for all the details.
Now it's the Sunday Morning Linux Review with Tony Bemis, Matt Enders, and Mary Tomich. That'd be my voiceover. Kind of breathy, you know.
Pushing it a little bit.
Pushing the envelope.